Legends. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio update. The Chicago Bears have approached by multiple teams about a potential trade for running back Jordan Howard. The 24-year-old had his role decreased under first-year head coach Matt Nagy, who incorporated a more dynamic approach with Tariq Cohen into the Bears' offense. Howard was a fifth-round pick and had 28 rushing attempts less in 2018. He did rush for 935 yards on 250 carries last year, but he did surpass the 1,000-yard mark in each of his first two seasons with the Bears. The Miami Dolphins are shopping around pass rusher Robert Quinn just a year after they acquired him. Quinn, who the Dolphins gave up a fourth rounder for, could be cut if Miami can't find a trade partner. The two-time Pro Bowler had 6.5 sacks last year, and he'll make close to $13 million in the last year of his current deal. Let's take a look at the first-round leaderboard at the Bay Hill Invitational. Spain's Rafa Cabrera Bayo on fire after a sizzling 7-under. Keegan Bradley in the clubhouse just two shots back at minus 5. But the big story of the day, Jason Day has withdrawn from this tournament with a back injury. He tried to play through an annular tear in his back, but after six holes, he was two over, and then he called it quits and withdrew from the tournament. His status for next week's Players' Championship, unclear, but it doesn't look very good there. Former UFC champ Junior Dos Santos says he would like to fight light heavyweight champ John Jones in a heavyweight decision bout. Cowboy Donald Cerrone calling out Conor McGregor today. The Cowboy saying Conor McGregor's a prima donna, and he's holding up their potential fight plans. Cerrone saying Conor won't fight him unless their bout headlines a card. Cerrone's message, he will fight anyone, anywhere, anytime. Michael Jordan reaching out to LeBron James today to congratulate him on his latest personal milestone. LeBron passing MJ for fourth place on the NBA all-scoring list after scoring his 32,292nd point last night in a loss to Denver. He scored 31 points in the game, and the 34-year-old James now has 32,311 career points, but he still sits 1,322 back of Laker legend Kobe Bryant for first place overall. LeBron went to Instagram just a while ago thanking Michael Jordan and his fans. Two in the association tonight, Indiana at Milwaukee. Bucks laying 10, 223 is your total. OKC at Portland. The Blazers, 3.5-point favorites, 233 is your total there. NCAA conference tournament action today. Earlier today, Radford beating Presbyterian 84-76. Radford covers. Game goes over the number. Charlestown Southern and Winthrop playing now. Charlestown Southern up 71-61, 3:47 left in the second half. Early action tonight. And New York's backyard, Gabe, for this one's for you. St. Peter's Marist at 5 p.m. Marist minus 2.5, 121.5. And Hampton meets Campbell at 6 o'clock. Campbell minus 4, 155 is your total. Top 25 action tonight in the NCAA. Number 20, Cincinnati at number 25, Central Florida. Golden Knights, 2.5-point favorites, 125. Iowa at number 121, Wisconsin. The Badgers are minus 6.5, 140. And SMU at Red Hot Houston, the 12th-ranked Cougars, minus 12.5 in the game. 134.5 is your total. Busy night on the ice. We have 11 games in the NHL. A couple good ones. Columbus at Pittsburgh. Pens minus 135, 6.5. We also have a rematch. Islanders minus 220 at Ottawa. Total 6 in that game. Minnesota at Tampa Bay. The Lightning minus 260 and 6. Chicago, Colorado at Dallas. Stars laying 35.5 is your total. Buffalo is at Chicago. The Blackhawks minus 130. Total 7 in this game. We hit a 7. Buffalo and Chicago. Vancouver at Edmonton. Oilers minus 170. Total 6. Calgary taking on Arizona in the desert. The Flames minus 130 on the road. Total 6. And St. Louis and LA. Blues minus 175. 5.5. And rounding out the sked, Montreal and San Jose for the late night action. Sharks minus 180. Over under in this game is a total of 6. Keep it locked here, guys, at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network here. It's going to be a great show. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage. I'm Cam Stewart. He's Gabe Morency. Stick around. Whale Capper, the Daily Roto guys, and a whole lot more. Betting picks, conference tournaments, and everything. Stick around. It's Red Heat and Rage.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio has begun. I am Gabriel Morency. You just heard the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. The Thursday edition of the program has begun. The Thursday evening throwdown. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Morenci? You know, just getting ready. Conference tournament time, too. A lot of the other conferences get going tonight with a little late-night action. Busy hockey board, too. Lots of games to choose from. Late night in the NBA, though. Don't see these ones very often. Only two games in the NBA. Usually they have the three spot, but kind of weird. Pulling an NHL with tons of games and then a couple games. But, hey, we'll bet on anything.
It is a strange setup. They have a ton of games scheduled for Friday evening. Tonight, just two games in the association. Pacers and Bucks, Thunder and Blazers. Some good games, though, actually, tonight. Pacers don't get on TV a lot, but they deserve to be on TV. They're 42-23, so they're worthy of the Thursday night TNT spot. And then the Thursday nightcap tonight, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Portland Trailblazers, another quality game.
Yeah, no, you're right about that one. I was actually kind of thinking about taking a shot with Portland in that game, but we got to look a little more into it. And you're right about Indiana. Oladipo went down, and people were thinking this team was going to fold their tent. They got a lot of guts. They've done a great job there. It's actually one of the more underrated stories. It flies under the radar because everyone's going, oh, these guys are going to fall apart, but yet they lose a wicked star player, great player, and they still keep on competing and winning games. Got to be commended there.
So you're calling me out? I was one of the guys who said, oh, they're going to fall apart.
I'm not calling you out. I don't think any. When Oladipo went down, who's going to say, oh, yeah, Indiana's going to do great? They'll hang around. Nobody said that. That's the thing.
I didn't say they would fall apart, but I didn't think they would be hanging on to the three seed.
Like, nor did I.
I thought they'd fall to like five or six.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah, we knew they were going to make the playoffs, but you didn't expect them to be playing this well. And I don't, any expert who tells you they did, I think they're a liar because the guy was such a huge player. So, no, kudos to their staff.
I don't think.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Probably the players are kind of, maybe they're playing with house money, though. You've been in those teams before where you're kind of like, we lose a star player, you all band together. Maybe they got a great chemistry on the team and they like each other. And when that works out, well, look at the Lakers. It's the complete opposite. LeBron gets personal accolades. These guys, Rondo's sitting with the fans. LeBron won't sit with the team. Totally opposite to Indiana, who actually get along and play well. And their results, victories.
Every team I was on, I was the star, Cam.
That's good.
Even on my teams, yeah, we never really had like superstars. I think thinking about the best player I played with was this pitcher. With this kid, he was like, I think he's in jail now. Actually, like, he turned out to be a pretty crazy dude, but man, he could throw it. Like, you know, like I see, some kids can just throw it harder than others. Like, he definitely was our ace, you know what I mean? But no, you are right. You see this time and time again. But normally, Cam, we've talked about this. Normally, the uptick that you get from a star player being out catches up after a couple of games. You know, it's like, oh, look, they're winning without him. It's like, yeah, but, you know, yeah, they won't over the long haul. Somehow the Pacers have kept it up. They play defense. That's what it is. It's not rocket science, actually. I mean, we can say, how are the Pacers doing this? It's pretty simple. They play defense. Like, that's, you know, in today's day and age, if you actually, like, you know, get in people's faces and stuff,
yeah,
and play defense, it'll go. It'll go a ways. We've talked about it. Basketball, like hard work, you can grind your way through a game. The Pacers are getting double-digit points tonight. Yeah, everyone's on this Milwaukee bandwagon all the time that Milwaukee are going to kill everybody every night. I'm tempted by the double-digit points.
I am too, Morenci. And the thing, yeah, that's a lot of points for them to cover. And Milwaukee, if the Greek Freak doesn't get it done, sometimes the other cast doesn't show up. I'm with you. I lean to the Pacers as well.
The other game's really tricky. The Thunder haven't covered it. I believe it's 8 straight games. So they're 0-8 against the spread in the last 8. But what does that mean? We'll hit that and more. Whale Capper steps up in.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
One here.
Yeah, Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports, our radio network. Shout out to our boy Craig Martin, who I think could be tuning in. Poor guy, actually, he just tweeted us. He went, he's actually at the tournament, Ken. So he went to the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Yeah.
And he's a big big Tiger Woods fan. Tiger not playing, so kind of blows. He'll still have a good time anyways. But, you know, it kind of sucks if you go to a tournament to see Tiger Woods because you're a big Tiger Woods fan, and he doesn't play. But nevertheless, all right, so Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. I am Gabriel Morenci, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I have CNN on in the background here with the sound down, yep. Obviously. But I've never seen, like, they're just so happy that Paul Manafort's going to jail. Like, they're actually giddy. Like, it's like the Super Bowl. Like, they have, like, 10 people on the panel, like, and they're all, they keep on saying, man, he's 69, he's going to die in prison. And, like, it's like, what did he do? You know what I mean? All right, so he lied about a couple of million bucks he made from some dictators in the Ukraine. Is that worth 25 years? Like, you know, they're acting like the streets are safe or anything like that. Anyways, they're very ghoulish.
No, I agree.
He's 69,
agree
and he's going to die in prison. It's like, you know, he's not a violent offender here. So, are the streets safer because Paul Manafort is going to die in jail?
Yeah. Another great point, Morenci. I watch a lot of American Greed, too, and it's amazing how I've seen people fleece people out of millions of dollars, ruin their lives and stuff, and then they get, like, 24-month jail sentences, right? It's amazing how this type of thing, one guy, if you don't like him, he'll get, like, you know, 20 years or whatever, and other people get a few months. Very, very shady. It's very shady. There's no rhyme or reason to anything. It's kind of arbitrary, and they give you what you want. It's absolute BS, actually.
You know what? Trump, I'm not Trump's biggest defender, but this thing is starting to look like a witch hunt.
You're right.
Good for you. You caught a 69-year-old man that cheated on his taxes. Oh, boo-hoo. All right, let's bring Whale Capper in. Whale Capper, who joins us, I don't know what, from the slopes of Aspen, Vienna. I saw you were you were skiing last week. Where were you skiing Whale Capper?
Yeah, we were up in Big Sky, Montana. Conditions were wild up there. It was just dumping blizzard powder skiing for days. My legs are still recovering. You know, it's been we in the West have had one hell of a winter. I mean, it has been cold. We have gotten a ton of snow and rain. The mountains, man, the local mountains, beautiful, you know, white snowy conditions you know, excellent if you're into skiing or snowboarding.
So I didn't realize you were
a snowboarder? Good life, Whale Capper.
Yeah, you a snowboarder or a skier or both?
Skiing for me. I've done both in my life, but now I'm at the point where I like to go I like to ski pretty aggressively, and so I can hit the tougher parts of the mountain. The more you know, the more difficult and the more challenging terrain, I'm much better on skis. So I almost entirely ski now.
Snowboarding's a young man's game, Whale Capper. It's tough. After a while, at least when you're older skiing, you can kind of take a cheesier mountain, you know. You can do the little bunny hills. You don't have to do the black diamonds. But, snowboarding, I tried it before. Man, it's harder than it looks.
Yeah, it's not
on skis.
Not
I can ski, actually, Morenci. Snowboard, not so much.
Yeah, snowboarding, you kind of get to the level where you just, like, you have to, like, go for the terrain park if you're going to keep trying to push yourself. Skiing, you can kind of find different, more interesting parts of the mountain and keep challenging yourself as you get better and better. So that's my game.
You've been skiing for a while, so you like the aggressive hills. You grew up skiing or something?
No, actually, it was the opposite. I was a swimmer growing up, and most of our season was kind of through the winter. My parents were always like, you know, hey, if you get out there on the mountain, you're going to tear your ACL, man. And so I was always kind of scared away from it as a youth. After I was done, after I was out of college, I was like, I'm going to learn this, man. And it became like a later in life passion, really, learned after college and really kind of got into it in my last 10 years of life, really. And, you know, it's living out in the West,
it's, you don't really have an excuse not to, because you can be, you know, you can live in LA, you can live in Orange County, you can be at the beach in the morning and get in your car and get up to, yeah, you know, really challenging snow and, you know, by the afternoon if you're so inclined. So, you know, it's a great way to experience the outdoors. And I, you know, there's so much cool stuff to see if you're into that sort of thing.
That's the thing.
You live a full bodied life, whale capper.
That's the thing. You know, listen, like if people play golf, you're out, you know, you're getting yeah, some air, some sun, and you know, you're seeing some nice terrain at times. But yeah, like skiing's another level. Like it's not only exercise, exhilarating, the thrill, I imagine, Will Capper, but as you mentioned too, scenically as well, right? I mean, we're not really on top of these mountains very often. There you are, you're on the mountain soaking it all in. And yeah, there's some beautiful ski spots, and I guess they never end, right? You'd have a whole list of places. Oh, I never skied there before. A lot of great places to ski in the world.
That's a great point. We try to do one trip a year to a new place, and we haven't repeated anywhere since. And we've been doing this for like 10 years. There are still places all around the West that we haven't been.
I don't want to sound like the Quebec Chamber of Commerce, but. And I'm not there.
Yeah.
But very good skiing. Very good skiing.
Very good.
Very good. That's where
my mom on a ski trip to Quebec, Gabe. That's where they got bombed on the bus. That's where my parents consummated their love in Quebec slopes.
Bombed. Not on the hill. They got drunk on the bus. Of course, that's how they met with Will Capper.
That's right.
Were you consummated on the bus, Cam?
Perhaps.
You know, I was with my mother, may she rest in peace. You know, she passed away not even that long ago, whatever, like 6 months ago or something. But I was with her, like she remarried. So I was with her husband, and I'm driving. We're in the car in Montreal. We're driving on the highway, and he says to me, he points over at a hotel. He goes, that's where your brother was made. Something great, I don't need to know. Like I didn't. I looked at the guy. Like, why are you telling me this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I need to know you had sex with my mother in that hotel, dude. Like, you know. He goes, hey, that's where, you know, me and my younger brother had your brother. I was thinking, I don't know why you just told me that, Kent, but never. Nevertheless,
is it in Kent?
But have you ever
great name?
Yeah, Kent.
Great handle.
Yeah, Kent.
Kent.
Have you ever?
he's
a funny guy. He's a funny guy. Have you ever skied in Quebec before or the Vermont area? Very nice as well. I know the guy that runs, what is it? Is it the Smuggler's Notch?
Ooh,
like,
nice.
I know the dude literally. Like, he's one of the big shots there. He always used to invite me up there. But see, if I ever go up there, I'm sure I can hook you up with some sort of deal. But yeah, good skiing in my area, actually. Something I never really totally got into. I was more into hockey. But I always used to like slapping on the skis and going as fast as I can and wiping out at the bottom of the hill. My cousin was actually like Olympic good. Like she was one of the best. Yeah, she was one of the best skiers in Canada, like youth skiers. Like she was like won the junior championship type thing, and she was poised to like Olympic type good, but she got burnt out. Like her father was kind of insane. So, like, if you hear for 10 years in a row about how you're going to the Olympics all the time since you're 6 or 7, some people, like, when they get to be 17, 18, they don't want to go to the Olympics. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
She wants to do ecstasy and go to India and find herself and whatever. Like,
yeah.
Hey, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She got injured, too. She got hurt, and she was into it. She wasn't into the rehab part, and she sort of, I'm kind of sailing away from that, you know? But she was damn good. Big, big thighs. She could pick thick thighs. All right. We'll hit some games on the other side.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports and Radio Network continues. I'm Gabriel Renzi. What the hell is going on with this?
I guess we hit like the slow rave mix or beats.
Does this song ever start?
Sounds like my computer.
Man, this is worse than that CCR stuff.
Bring what back Proud Mary, Yang.
Yeah. What song is that, Yang? This one needs to be deleted. It sounds like I'm on hold, like with the electric company.
It's called Owl City Fireflies.
It's like, shut up, man. What's that?
It's called Owl City Fireflies.
Fireflies?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. Screw them. Yeah. Oh, Owl City?
Put that with Fortunate Son?
I don't know. It's just, yeah, you know, yeah.
I like Fortunate
Son. No, but CCR is fine next to this. Delete it. Burn it.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Yeah. Let other shows play. Just don't let that stuff come near us again.
It's gone.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like, stop. It was like, I can live with songs. That one was just annoying. I was like, man, you got to stop.
Yeah.
All right. So we're Whale Capper joining us. We were just doing a real interview. It's like the Charlie Rose Show without the groping. That's pretty good.
Solid. That's good stuff.
You know, I didn't plan
strong.
That was totally like that just came out. Like, yeah. You know,
that was just absolutely natural.
Well, Cap, tell us about when you started skiing and what part of the country you're from. It's like on the Charlie Rose Show. So that's good. I got to remember that one. Say Charlie Rose Show without the groping.
Without the groping. Nice. I only agreed.
Yeah, I only agreed to do this for the groping. I was probably groping.
More groping. More groping.
All right. So, two games in the NBA tonight, Will Capper. Interesting games actually. So it's a lighter night. Pacers don't get a lot of national television publicity, but me and Cam were talking about it before you came on, and Cam said a lot of people thought that the Pacers would take a pretty big step back once Oladipo went out, and I was one of the people. Like, I thought, oh, God, there's no way in hell they're hanging on to the three seed. I mean, but here they are. I mean, the Pacers have been a damn good team this year, and I was telling Cam my belief is because they play defense, right? You play defense, you give yourself a chance to win every night.
They do. They play great defense. They do, really. And on top of that, they have a really deep squad. Even in the beginning of the season when they were overperforming expectations with Oladipo, a lot of it was because, Oladipo, he's a star, but he's not like a superstar where everybody's standing around in crunch time looking for him to do everything, right? Like, so everybody kind of had to figure out their roles, and they played like a team. Right. And it's kind of a throwback to a different NBA, really, where everybody kind of, was chipping in their part and not standing around in crunch time waiting for the superstar to get them the win. And it worked
Brooklyn
well.
Nets, Will Capper. You watch the Brooklyn Nets play.
Great comparison.
They're a team. Yeah, they just pass the ball. Hey, you shoot. No, pass it. You're open. They're a team, you know.
That's right. That's right, man. It's a refreshing kind of throwback a little bit. It's probably not going to do anything for them in the playoffs. Like, they're probably going to be.
That's the thing.
They'll make the playoffs. They're a great story. They're fun to watch. They're fun to cheer for. They're great to bet on because people look at their roster and think, well, these guys don't have a chance, But they are especially thin tonight without Sabonis. It looks like Sabonis has really emerged as a pretty outstanding young player And it's cool because obviously his dad was in the league, and it's you know, he's got some legacy, and it's great to see him kind of, you know, grow into his talents. Sadly, without him out there, they do not stack up well when their second unit is going to be on the floor against the Bucks. The Bucks are a really deep team. People kind of look to, you know, the play that they've gotten out of Giannis and think like he's kind of carrying them. But this
Bledsoe
team without Giannis,
they're tough to deal with.
Bledsoe and Middleton are tough to deal with. Lopez is shooting the three like I haven't seen a center shoot the three in my entire life. They have a good second unit. They're just a very well-rounded team, top to bottom. I would be shocked if the Pacers can hang with the Bucks tonight. The Bucks,
I want to take them. Will,
I know.
As Cap says, you're making good points.
He makes very good points.
Yeah. It's probably if you like the Pacers
without Sabonis is the problem.
You know, hang tough without Sabonis is the problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
And
Quail Capper, Gabe talks about the size of my head. Did anybody, Sabonis's dad was like, when I used to watch, that guy just looked like it was crazy. Like when I watched that guy play, he's like one of my favorite players of all time. Just watching him there with the hairy back and the huge melon, like getting up and down the floor. Those old Blazer teams are pretty damn, they were pretty cool. With Clyde the Glide. Arvydas Sabonis? I hope he didn't. I love. He was great, man. One of the best. You talked about the Raptors, Gabe, with the passing. One of the best fast-paced passers. Like he did so many cool things. Like very underrated. Good hands for a big man. Arvydas Sabonis.
Check this out. I'm getting confused here.
Pretty cool.
His father was on the Portland Trailblazers, right?
That is correct. Yeah, the guy with the huge melon.
He passed away. He's gone.
Did he really? Yeah. Retired basketball. No, it says Lithuanian basketball player.
Doesn't say he's dead, huh?
No, I don't see
it. I killed someone off the other day on the show, actually, too. That wasn't
really?
Yeah.
Glad I'm not in your death pool, Morenci.
I know. I was like, hey, he's dead, huh? And someone's like, no, he's not dead.
I still got a few good years.
Yeah. You sure he's not dead?
No, it says he's in the FIBA Hall of Fame. I don't see any death. At the time, he was the tallest basketball player ever to win the Naismith. Yeah, he can be. No, it says born December 19, 1964. Right, he's 54, right. Still going strong.
All right.
Yep.
All right. I'm confusing. I'm off. All right, well, Capper, the other one, Oklahoma City. What is it, 8 straight games they haven't covered a point spread? It's kind of weird. Cool. Like. Yeah, but so what do you make? What do you make of the Thunder and the Blazer game this evening? Should be a fun game.
I think, yeah, it should be. And the market has finally kind of corrected to the way that the Thunder are playing right now. And I think there's probably a little bit of value on the Thunder on the road. Most of this recent swoon by the Thunder was driven by not having Paul George. Paul George is having first team all NBA, clearly, you know, in the conversation for the MVP type of season. A lot of that has been driven by he is shooting the ball from three better than he has in his entire life, and it's not particularly close, right? Like, his shooting is carrying this team. And you take his three-point shooting off of the Thunder, and they just cannot compete on offense with some of the other high-powered offenses in the West that they've been playing recently. So, the little stretch of games that Paul George missed, like, it really kind of exposed a lot of how, you know, some of the other pieces on OKC weren't really contributing much on offense. Paul George came back last game against Minnesota. He was rusty as hell. Like, his shot was not there.
8 of 25.
From three, it was even worse. It was like, she was like 2 of 10 or something bad. It was pretty bad. But, they never really were in that game against the Timberwolves, which again was kind of weird because the Timberwolves aren't really playing for much. So that was a surprising game, top to bottom. And I would expect to see a more honest performance out of the Thunder tonight, against a team that they match up pretty well against. I mean, the Trailblazers are kind of, a boomer bust team, around the play of Lillard and McConnell.
They're very similar teams, and McCollum.
Yeah, they are very similar teams, and the way that OKC can defend the perimeter and the way that they can put some of the bigger bodies on Dame Lillard should give them just enough of an advantage that they're that I kind of like them to get the win tonight on the road. It should be a fun game though.
They're a desperate team, Cam. That's what I like about the Thunder coming into tonight. They know they've lost five of their last six games. You know, they're 4-6 in their last 10. They've been a little bit of a free fall. What do you make of the total, Whale Capper? 232.5. You know, Oklahoma City, yeah, they're just not defending. They gave up 30 or more points in three of the four quarters against the T-Wolves.
Yeah, pretty uncharacteristic-y. And, you know, a lot of the, you know, T-Wolves, what they're up to right now, they are stat padding. They are kind of all going after, they're not playing for a playoff spot. They have no real incentive to tank. Like, they're not going to get into a tier where they have a particularly great draft pick this year. So at this
Andrew Wiggins, whale capper, was padding his stats in the preseason. that's what
big
he
time.
Does.
Big time.
Yeah, that's
big
his
time.
Career. Like, that's who he is.
Exactly. Exactly. And they, you know, they look around the locker room and it's every man for himself trying to get theirs. And they, you know, I think that caught the Thunder a little bit by surprise last game. And I would expect that, you know, I would expect that.
It's funny. I'm laughing
tonight.
It's like the dangers of playing a team that doesn't give a shit. Right. Like,
oh, it's crazy.
You know what
I mean,
Cam? It's like we're all tense. Yeah, and the other team is like, I don't care. I'm just going to shoot this three, and hey, it's going in tonight. It's like, look,
and that's
Phoenix.
That's the thing about basketball. That's basketball.
They nailed that like a nail in the Lakers' coffin, and then boom, they beat Milwaukee again the other night because they just, you know, it's like, ah, whatever. And like you said, Minnesota, if you got guys that are like, I'm going to score, it's a bitch to deal with it because they're not really caring about anything else besides just scoring, and that is the name of the game. It's almost like when teams that don't have their punter in football, or they lose the field goal kicker.
Go for it, Arthur.
Oh, God, that's good. No, then the other team starts going for it all the time and getting it. You're like, oh, God.
Remember when Janikowski got hurt for Seattle?
Yes.
Seattle's had more punters and kickers hurt. They were all those games. They started going for two, and they got them. Like, it was crazy. Like,
I covered
it all the
that.
Time. Seattle does it all the time, Renzi.
Yeah, it's just sort of that house money. All right, we'll take a quick break. Yeah. We'll come back and we won't keep Capper for too much longer. But we'll get a couple of quick NFL thoughts before we wrap it up. Red Heat Rage Radio.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am David Renzi. We appreciate all of you tuning in. If you are tuning in, if you're not, I don't appreciate it. Screw you. Cam Stewart with us. Whale Capper for another couple of minutes here. Of course, last night on the program, we talked about how Cam accidentally put a Seton Hall bet in my account as opposed to his own account.
Correct.
And Seton Hall was down big late, but Seton Hall closes on an 18-0 run to get the W against Marquette.
Yar.
I don't trust
Pirates.
Marquette going into the tournament.
Nor do I.
Seton Hall needed that. Yeah, listen, Seton Hall's going to get into the tournament most likely now. I mean, they probably need another win or two, but they're not going to do anything. I mean,
all this talk about
these teams on the bubble, like, they're not that
good. They know what they are, though. They're streaky. They could be really good and really bad. They're just that's what Seton Hall is. Like you talked about it, Gabe. Flaky is the word. Some days they go on incredible runs,
John's.
And other times they can't score. Yeah, they're very similar teams.
So, Whale Capper, any pre tournament thoughts with March Madness around the corner? Is there a team
it's
like you're taking a look at the future for?
Good question. I haven't. I usually wait until we see see the bracket to really kind of try to nail down some thoughts because path is so important if you're going to be in the futures market. I mean, you know, my strategy at least for grabbing futures is once you see what the bracket looks like, you can kind of tell one or two regions are going to be at the upsetty regions, and that's where you want to scoop a little bit of the value plays, because you know the ones and the twos and the threes that get eliminated in any given region, you know, that can make a 50-1 turn into a, you know, turn into a pretty valuable ticket real quickly. That happened with Loyola Chicago last year, Nevada. You know, those are the you know, so if you can identify where the upsets are going to be, which region, scoop some long shots from that region. That's kind of the way I play it.
Well, they actually set it up that way. If for people to pay close attention.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes.
They want one mid-major going to the Final Four, right? They set the path
they
up.
Want, yes.
Yeah, and they'll cannibalize a couple other teams. It'll be like, son of a bitch, Michigan's playing Kentucky in the Sweet 16. And be like, why is Loyola Chicago getting Indiana State here? You know what I mean? Like, you notice, like you said, they'll have these mid-majors sort of play each other as it goes on. So they get that path because it's good for the game, right? You know, the sister jeans cam, good for the game. Pisses people off if it's just all power conferences. But we'll move on from this. But this is where I come in with Gonzaga, because I'm buying into Gonzaga.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead.
So
go ahead.
Power conferences, this is off the top of your head, guys. I'll ask you, I'll go to you, El Capper, first. When's the last time a team not from a major conference won the national championship in basketball?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. I think it's probably got to be the 80s.
Little more soon, but you know what? It's been 28 years.
28
years. UNLV.
Wow. The Runner Rebels. Great team, though.
1990.
That's a good
The Big
good
West.
Trivia.
Yeah.
Good trivia.
Okay. So before that?
Yeah.
1966. West Texas, who are now UTEP.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. If people don't know the story, West Texas were like an all-black team, pretty much. Not all-black team, but and they beat a racist Kentucky team, a white like sort of race. Like, yeah, it's like they're, you know, they don't really get the love and history that they should. But you know, the West Texas story is a good one. So nice. Yeah, I'm just stating it's unbelievable, guys. That
you know, because what you brought up is a good point. They always tend to make one region where a bunch of mid-majors will have a chance, but then the trade-off and the payback for the major conferences is if there's a good mid-major, they screw them on the draw. They absolutely put them in.
If they're a real threat,
if there's a real threat to win, because they don't want the mid-major, they want them to get to the Final Four.
Remember when Wichita State was good all the time? They'd always screw Wichita State. They're like, these guys are 26, they're 28-2. You made them as 5 seed. Why? Because we don't want them advancing. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Or they recognize them and then they set them up with just a hellacious second round matchup, like in the other team's backyard, practically, or something
like they did to Wichita State.
Yeah.
Well, you guys bitch that you're not, you know, you don't get all right. Play Kentucky next week. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly. Oh, you get the number 8 seed Kentucky in Lexington. Good luck. What?
Yeah.
Like, how does this happen?
No, people think that it's true, Cam. There's a perception that, it's like some random bracket and stuff.
No, it's not.
Yeah, randomly made by a bunch of TV executives and guys that have like a $3 billion television contract. It's entertainment.
Right.
Like they plan it out. Oh, look, the Big Ten versus the SEC here, maybe. Oh, you know, they'll match it up. Oh, look, we get Michigan Duke in the Final Four if we do this. You know, like they'll sort of, and then it'll be like, okay, we're going to need, you know, got to keep Middle America involved on this. Got to keep the mid-majors happy here. So let's throw them a bone, and one of these guys can get to the Elite Eight. You know, like, they have their real power rankings, Cam. So in their mind, these are the guys that are putting the teams in the tournament. So they obviously, they know who's good and who isn't. So they'll know. Well, it's sort of like the UFC. Like, the UFC is not a tournament, but it is. They'll just sort of matchmake. All right, this guy will fight this guy, and he'll beat him, and we'll know he'll beat that guy, and then he can fight for the title, right? Like they can sort of, you know, direct teams a little bit. So I'm with Whale Capper.
It's carefully engineered.
True.
It's carefully engineered. There's guys with master's degrees in logic games, you know, who are outstanding at the logic and theory thing that are constructed, and they're engineering this bracket every single year because there's big money involved. You'd be stupid not to.
Yeah, I know. You can't just randomly go, oh, shit, we ended up with Nevada and Vermont. And you know what I mean? Like, how did this happen? Like, you're right. Heads would roll.
Oh, great.
Like, you're right. Like, CBS would call and say, what are you guys, are stupid idiots? How'd you let this happen? You guys made a bracket. Do you have two, like, the smallest states in America playing each other? Right? Like, they're, it's all, like you said, I like that. Engineered. You're an engineer yourself.
Yep.
Right,
man.
Finally, in closing here, NFL football, you know, since we spoke, Nick Foles is going to go to the Jags. This Antonio Brown stuff is supposed to come to a conclusion tomorrow. The Steelers supposedly put a deadline out that this is over. Like, we're not dragging this on. So make your offer because we're trading them on Friday type of thing. The Raiders, Redskins, and Titans are the teams that we have heard about, which leads me to believe it'll be another team. And I'm not just saying that facetiously. Like, I think that it'll be a team that no one talked about. I'm telling you, I'm a Bills fan, and I have no inside nothing on this, but it wouldn't surprise me. The Bills have a bunch of picks. Mm. It wouldn't surprise me. Like, the Bills do weird things every year. Like, teams do weird things. Yeah. I'm telling you, Cam. It might be Carolina.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you. Might make I know move. Warren Moon. Yeah. More Warren Moon disagreed with you on the interview. It makes sense for Seattle, though, just because he's.
Oh, I saw 2 days after that, Cam. Seattle were in internal talks about it, and they actually wanted to do it.
Look at their receivers.
And I think they got overridden by the owner.
Yeah, that sucks. Because
Pete Carroll can totally contain Brown.
He loves Russell Wilson. It's a challenge to him. It's a challenge for him.
Yeah. I said, listen, from a football perspective, I thought Seattle could use Brown. But what do you make of the Brown stuff, Will Capper? And where do you think he ends up? And then after, I'll ask you about the Kyler Murray Rosen stuff, and we'll let you go after that. So what do you make of Antonio Brown?
So my general feeling is on the football field, Antonio Brown will help all 31 teams that aren't the Steelers. On the football field,
so his
talent is unequivocally he's still got at it. And he unequivocally will help. His role right now is perfect for, you know, the modern offense. But I would worry about him in Seattle. Pete Carroll is a player's coach. That locker room is a little loose. If I'm a GM, I'm probably only thinking about bringing in Brown if I have, you know, we'll say like a Tony Dungy style, you know, guy who's going to, you know, keep him on, you know, keep him engaged in the football and keep him on a winning track, because, you know, clearly what's going on, you know, with Tomlin and having kind of effectively, I mean, he didn't lose the locker room in terms of they're not playing for him, but he definitely lost the locker room in terms of being able to communicate to those guys that, you know, hey, like, you know, this is a team effort. We're all playing for the team here. Like, they have clearly, everybody in that locker room is out for their own, you know, getting their own money. And, you know, I mean, it makes sense. Like, that's kind of the way you get when you have that kind of, you know, a culture in the locker room. And to a degree, I think there's a little bit of that going on in Seattle, at least, you know, the way that Carroll manages personalities in that space. I would worry about him in Seattle, but that said, I, you know, he could clearly be a perfect fit with Russell Wilson. You know, if I was the GM in Seattle and I needed to make a big move, I'm switching out offensive coordinators first.
Good job in the Dallas game, Schottenheimer. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to run the ball all the time. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, we want to establish.
Oh God, he cost in the playoff game.
Probably the most uncreative play calls as a Seattle fan I've seen in the history of Seattle. Like, it was awful this year.
And Russell Wilson's not difficult, Cap.
So bad.
And, Will Capper, you know that you got problems when Wilson's yelling at the coordinator on the sideline.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like when he's telling Carroll, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Like, come on, man. You know?
Yeah. It's bad, man. And the advanced analytics are in, man. Everything I've seen and read this offseason from the world who have kind of studied football have kind of come to the same conclusion. What in the hell was going on with the play calling in Seattle this year? Because it just made no sense, and it didn't get them anywhere, and they succeeded in spite of it. And yet they look like they're ready to run it back out there and do kind of a run first approach with Schottenheimer again, which doesn't make any sense to me. I think I'm selling Seattle until they make that move.
All right, so before we get you out of here, we've only got 2 minutes or so. Josh Rosen, this is interesting, in which people are talking about Josh Rosen like he's the biggest bust in NFL history. Kid played 13 games behind one of the historically worst offensive lines in football. I believe they had 10 combinations. He had 10 different starting offensive lines in his 13 games. He had a fired offensive coordinator, zero talent, and people are judging this kid already. If you can really get him for a third-round pick, man, I'll give a third-round pick, and I don't even own a team. Like, and now you hear the Patriots, Cam. Patriots are like, you guys want a third-round pick for Josh Rosen? Yep. We're in.
Suppose you saw that Patriots?
We're in. We're in. Like they said, yeah, we're in.
You know what I mean? Yeah, no, what they said, Gabe, I was doing the show with Kurtz on the weekend, and I read some, like, it was a little clip thing, and I went right into it. They had a big thing, like, days ago talking about how the Patriots were, like, the team lying in the weeds for Rosen. It's a perfect fit. Before with Garoppolo, Brady still wanted to be the man. It's another year. Like, eventually somebody's got to take over.
Oh, yeah,
it's a perfect fit.
And if I was another team, I'd go, oh, shit, if Belichick likes him, maybe he's better than I think he is.
Exactly right. Correct.
That's right. Correct.
So what's your take, Will Capper?
If the Patriots want your guy, that's a good sign that you should not trade him. And for sure, like, after one season, there is no way you can indict a quarterback in this league as not capable, not willing, you know, not able to cut it. We saw the most pathetic rookie performance I can think of off the top of my head was Jared Goff his first year. And look at him 2 years later, he's in the freaking Super Bowl. Like, so much relies on coaching and development, and what they had in the locker room last year in Arizona was an absolute catastrophe. It was a joke. There's no way to evaluate Rosen on that. And I think the Cardinals, I think shipping him, shopping him is a mistake. They should probably hold on to him, try to see what Cliff Kingsbury can do for him. If you are trying to make the move down, swap with the Raiders, make them, you know, get moved down a little bit in the draft. If you're not trying to take Kyler Murray, somebody wants that guy. He's worthy of the number one pick in my opinion. So I would trade it out.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Time decision, Freddie Great Radio. Great stuff with Whale Capper, hour one. Just flew by. I see Canadian Prime Minister denies allegations he pressured Attorney General.
He's in
to cut
big trouble.
The company accused of bribery. Yeah, he could be going down.
Oh, Gabe, I'll tell you something, man. This story, like, you're there, like, it's happening. Like, I've never seen this guy because he's usually always, like, just, you know, people will bark at him and whatever. Like, you could tell now he's, like, lashing out, frustrated, personality change, snapping. Like, you know what I mean? It's not the same old jolly gee shucks. I'm good guy. Like, you could tell he is rattled. He is rattled, and people here are going out for blood. We work in both countries. It's a Trump thing and the Trudeau thing. Both guys are facing the heat and the pressure.
Yeah, every politician for the rest of eternity is going to face pressure. People are psychotic. You know what I mean? Like, people are psychotic. So it's like, be careful what you wish for. You get Trudeau out, we'll see who comes up next. You know, it's not even that big of a deal, this little scandal with Trudeau, but it's the way he's handling it. Like you said, he just looks guilty all the time.
Exactly. No one believes him. That's the thing. He's not a very good liar, right? That's the problem.
He's very entitled.
Oh, you think?
So he gets, like you said, he gets mad that you're challenging him on something, right? Yeah. So then, you know, I'm Justin Trudeau. How dare you ask me? And, hey, the world loves me and stuff. I always said that, though. It's funny because the world, like I said, they have a feature on him right now. I see on the news and on CNN. And it used to be all the time people would be like, I wish Trudeau was the president of the United States, or, you know, people in England, Trudeau's so great, and he's probably the best-looking politician. Like, dude, the guy's on the cover of, like, GQ and stuff. Like, they just show it. He was on the cover of GQ, and whenever people would ask me about him, I'd always tell people, I'd say, you know, it's ironic. Like, you guys think he's some sort of great, like, great leader, and he's so cool and stuff. I said, people in Canada actually don't like him.
No. Yeah, like, Cross they spoiled
he's
rich
a phony, right? Yeah, he's a phony.
Yeah, big time.
He always reminded me of Hillary Clinton, and he even has, like, the same advisors. Like, he's just sort of a spineless, kind of entitled
jellyfish. Spineless jellyfish.
Yeah. There's worse than him, though.
Yeah,
it's worse. Game time decision.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with the Fantasy Sports Update. Breaking news from the NBA, reports indicating LeBron James will be on a minutes restriction, and they likely won't play him in back-to-backs as their playoff hopes against Denver last night. They lose. They're all but dwindling, but I'm not sure. LeBron might want to play, but these are the reports right now saying they are going to put him on a minutes restriction. Michael Jordan reaching out to the King to congratulate him on his latest personal milestone. LeBron passing Michael Jordan for fourth place on the NBA all-time scoring list after scoring point 32,292 last night and the loss to Denver.
Probably said, James, hey, congratulations would score. Congratulations on passing me, but you ain't ever going to beat me.
Exactly. That's exactly. He was polite about it, but yeah, we'll see. That's the thing. It's all about the individual milestone. Nah, probably just email. Weber? I think
you
he pulled
think
an email.
The old P. Weber? Who do you think you are? I am. Email? You think Michael? Come on, email. Please. It's not your aunt, Ken.
Personal call?
You, Michael Jordan did not. Yeah, he called him. Or at least a text. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, text.
They probably gave FaceTime.
Real conversation. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what FaceTime
that
is?
Makes sense. Yeah, I know FaceTime. Yeah. Don't know how to get it working, but I know what it is.
Yeah, you've heard.
Yeah, it's on my computer. I've tried it a few times. Not really successful with it, but we move on. The 34-year-old James now has 32,311 career points, Gabe, but you know what? He's still 1,322 back of Laker legend Kobe Bryant, and he's also 34 years old. Two in the association tonight, as we mentioned, Indiana at Milwaukee, Bucks laying 10, 223 total. Sabonis out for the Pacers, Oklahoma City at Portland, Blazers minus 3.5, 233. NCAA Finals today, Radford over Presbyterian, 84-76. Radford wins, covers, game goes over. And Charlestown Southern beat Winthrop. We usually see Winthrop in the tournament, but they gone. 77-63 the final. St. Peter's and Marist kicking off right now, Gabe. I took a St. Peter's plus 2.5. I just pulled the trigger. Very small play, 121.5. I love afternoon gambling. And Hampton meets Campbell at 6.
Best
Campbell,
value in the state.
best value in the state. Campbell minus
University.
4. Yeah, go St. Peter's. I'm on the Peacocks. NCAA top 25 action tonight. Good one here. Cincinnati at number 25, Central Florida. Underrated game. Golden Knights 2.5, 125. Iowa at number 21, Wisconsin. Badgers minus 6.5, 140. And SMU taking on Houston. The Cougars minus 12.5, total 134.5. The Chicago Bears have been approached by multiple NFL teams about a potential trade for running back Jordan Howard. The 24-year-old's role decreased under first-year head coach Matt Nagy, who incorporated the more dynamic Tariq Cohen into the Bears' offense with a lot of quick hitters. Howard was a fifth-round draft pick from Indiana. He had 28 less rushing attempts last year, rushing for 935 yards. Yeah, sounds good. Great call. They need a running back. McCoy's
running
not getting
back.
Any younger. That'd be, yeah, exactly. 250 carries last year, Gabe, but in his first two seasons with the Bears, we know what he did. Over 1,000 yards both seasons. I like that call. Howard to Buffalo Bills, get on the blower.
Well, McDermott likes a bigger smash-mouth type back, right?
He does. He's an old school. He's more, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
They're using
and
Terry Cohen
older
with quick hitters.
Yeah.
Exactly. The Miami Dolphins shopping pass rusher Robert Quinn just a year after acquiring him. Quinn, who the Dolphins gave up a fourth-round pick for, could be cut if Miami can't find a trade partner. The two-time Pro Bowler had 6.5 sacks last year, and he's going to make close to $13 million. Gabe, this one's interesting. A politician proposing a bill allowing NCAA players to profit from their likeness. A Republican House rep plans to table a bill that will force the NCAA to allow athletes to be
good
paid in college.
Mark Walker, he's a rep from North Carolina, expects to put forth the Student Athlete Equity Act. We'll stay on top of this story, but it's a great idea. Syracuse basketball coach Jim Boeheim will not be charged in last month's fatal highway accident. The case is closed, say the cops. Boeheim not deemed reckless in this story. MLB manager Tony La Russa, former MLB manager, says, hey, Bryce Harper, he's not impressed with his comments and told him to shut up about luring Mike Trout to Philly a few years later. There, the skip says he disrespected the Angels in doing so and not very happy about that. And we talked about the tampering, too. Taking a look at the first-round leaderboard at the Bay Hill Invitational. No, I think he was just asked the question independently, and he said it was a joke. Like, he said it was disrespectful to the Angels.
La Russa doesn't work, isn't he, on the rules committee? Because that's what I was going to say. I thought La Russa was on, like, the rules committee here. I don't think he's just a private citizen. I'll look into it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to dig deeper there. Golf, Jason Day withdrew, Gabe. The problem was he played six holes.
Oh,
there goes my money.
Really?
So Jason Day had a back injury. He played, and he played six holes and withdrew. Why do you even play in the tournament, buddy? I did two lineups. I want to kill this guy. Honestly, every time I take Jason Day, he's got vertigo or a problem. But you know what? He's out of the tournament. Anyway, the leader right now, Rafael Cabrera-Bale.
That cost me, buddy.
It costs me every time this guy takes the course. It costs me money. Anyway, stick around, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Red Heat and Rage.
Game time. Game time decisions.
Won't last. It won't last.
Game time decisions.
Why do you tee it up? You got a back problem. Don't go. Play six holes. Idiot.
Haotong Lee is sucking, too.
Oh, Haotong Lee is, that guy's up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. Yeah, plus five's bad. Who do we got here? Something good news. What do we got? Matsingham is even. Yeah, mine's okay. It's not great. Molinari, 3-under. Actually, you know what? Fleetwood, 7th. Molinari, 7th. No other guy we liked? Luke List. Luke List plays well in this event. He's 3-under, but Cabrera-Bale, Gabe, 7-under. What a round. And got to hand it to old Keegan Bradley, 5-under. And Billy Horschel's on the course, 5-under right now, too. So, a couple guys are doing good. But, plus 5, it's too far back. When a guy has a blow-up round like that, you can't make it up. Even if he shoots 5-under tomorrow, like, he'll need to do that to make the cut. That's a problem.
So, conference tournaments have begun. The Horizon League has started. Now a bunch of other ones start. Missouri Valley or Ohio Valley and blah, blah. And West Coast Conference, actually late night West Coast Conference action this evening. St. Peter's is winning 5-4 right now.
Good start. Excellent start.
in their conference tournament. We've got Hampton and Campbell. Hampton Hotels versus Campbell Soups. Campbell, -4.
Yeah. Yeah. You know anything about that game? High total. Not a lot
number
of defense
feels a
in that
short to, number feels a little short feels, to me.
Campbell? Yeah. Take a look at their record. Like, you know, I just looked at it. I was like, well, these guys are pretty decent. Yeah, the number feels very short. I probably would have made the line about 6.5. It's 4.
Campbell, 8-2 straight up last 10 games.
They're good.
7-3 against the spread. What happened when Hampton played Campbell this year? Campbell beat him 87-84 at home, and Hampton beat them 64-58. Look at Hampton, though. Hampton riding a nice 5-game win streak. Yeah, it is.
I like Hampton Inns. Hampton, they made the tournament before. Remember that little coach where they lifted him up in the loafers? That guy was great. He's like 5 feet tall. Hey, Hampton.
Hampton.
They beat Iowa State.
The black guy, the coach.
Didn't they beat Iowa State? Who's on that team? Marcus Fizer was on that team for Iowa State.
You don't remember? I think it was the coach of Hampton. I could be wrong. Pretty sure it was, though. He was a black guy. Everyone loved the guy. Like his celebrations were great. And I don't know if you recall. Like, didn't he fell over a chair during the game?
That's right. Yeah.
Like when they won.
Yeah,
he was like tripped over a chair. Remember at the end, he won, and he was like, "Yeah!" And he walked over. Yeah.
He went ballistic.
He tripped over
exactly it.
He
that
fell
was the
over
team
like an assistant or a chair, like and he wiped
that
out.
Was the
like,
best. Yeah. That's when they beat Iowa State. The Hampton was a 15
seed.
Pretty sure the Cyclones
Hampton.
Were a 2 seed.
Yeah, I'm gonna go by.
Yeah, pretty sure it was.
I remember that game.
I think you're right. I think it was Hampton.
I don't know if one of our listeners out there can tell me what happened. I'm gonna look it up. But yeah. I don't know if he wiped out or one of the coaches took a spill. It was funny as hell, though. Right?
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The light, you know the rotor in the night. Blinded by the dogs, screwed it overtime. The shootout really screwed ya. You picked some very juicy dogs. Yeah. Was this like? What's the deal? I didn't know. I didn't realize Bovada was such a progressive rock fan.
Yeah, he likes some classic rock and he likes some weird like the I'm still shocked about that like little electronica soft song that we had.
Firefly
weird,
stuff.
Man.
Outhouse, yeah, what was that, it called? That, outhouse or yeah, city or what? Like
yeah, it's well you want to put it in the outhouse. Flush it down. Struggling. Yeah, this one.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
And let's see where it goes. Let's all right, play the song for a second.
It's going nowhere.
See, now it should start.
Yeah, I'm drunk.
Like kick in. Too long. All right, now it's got to kick in.
Not really.
All right.
Just now it's more like a
faster.
Where's
it go from this, though? Yeah, like where's it go from this?
The song does.
Sounds like music that'd be played on a calculator.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's. Oh, they got lyrics. Wow.
Well, Yang. Yang, why'd you fade it out as soon as it starts? We want to hear like where it went. The song.
It faded out on its own.
We knew.
It's only on.
Well, it
like
faded out on its own.
Time. Yeah. So it faded.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think. That's the thing. It's like they're not like 3-minute songs. Yeah, it's like a bed, right? So, yeah, that's the end of that.
Oh, so you have a 30-second bumper.
Yeah, it's a
bumper. Yeah, pretty much.
And it didn't make its point in 30 seconds, so it gets flushed down the toilet. It's done.
That was anticlimactic.
He's gone. Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
She
it built
gone.
Up, but
do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
It sounds like something, I don't know, like... Like Frank and Greg on the BFF show. Like, maybe they would fit on there, you know what I mean? With the other Maroon 5 and stuff, like, that they play. Five for Fighting. Gin Blossoms.
Gin Blossoms. Found out about you. In
jealousy.
The schoolyard. Oh, yeah. Hey, jealousy. Hey, jealousy.
Yeah, his husband likes all that stuff.
Oh, he likes, like, the crappy 90s, like the soft 90s.
Oh,
yeah.
No, he loves it. Like I even told him, I said, so let me guess, you're big Mr. Jones guy, right? He's like, love it.
Yeah.
Mr.
Yeah,
Jones, and
Jones and me. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was a very, very generic era. Very generic era of music.
True.
All right. Thanks to Whale Capper. Remember
nice.
Cam, you spoke to. Remember Rick Barry was at the weed festival, the weed conference.
Yeah, the marijuana conference. Excellent conversation we had, Gabe. Good stuff. Yes, You're on fire.
Yeah, Rick Barry's there. So we had Rick Barry on the morning show today. And we'll talk some NBA basketball. We'll replay that at 5:40. And there's some noise in the background and stuff. But you know, that's when you're an NBA Hall of Famer. You're living the life, Cam. So he's like, hey, guys, yeah, I apologize. A little noisy behind me. He goes, I'm just with the Pittsburgh Pirates here. I'm good friends with Clint Hurdle, manager of the Pirates.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah, he said, I'm in spring training.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, right, you taking great. Batting practice? He goes, oh, if they let me.
They let me.
Yeah.
Barry's cool.
Barry's all business all the time, right? He goes, I was All-American baseball player. I could have played baseball, too, but I played basketball. Like, but he wasn't joking the way he said it. He goes, yeah, in Jersey, I was an All-American baseball player.
I'll never forget Rick Barry. When I used to work with him when I first got into the business and I clipped games for the highlight show, he was our NBA analyst. Yeah, and he came in. Like, I never met the man. The guy sat beside me and said, hey, I'm Rick Barry. I told him, hey, I'm going to be clipping your game today. The guy bought me, like, freaking subs, everything. Like, he was so generous. Then we worked with these cheapskates there. We worked with them for 20 years. They wouldn't even spring for donuts. Like, Rick Barry's great. Well, he's a really nice man, easy to work for, too. And you're right, Gabe, at the conference, he was really cool. He was talking about a lot of guys that he played basketball with who got on the opiates for pain and talking. He's like, he's not even a marijuana advocate, but he's saying, I'd rather smoke weed than pop pills. Like, he was very, very honest about it.
You remember my Rick Majerus story? We'll get to the phone line in a second. But so may rest in peace, Rick Majerus. Coach Majerus used to do TV work on a network me and Cam were on. And so I had him on the show quite a bit. Like, part of the deal was, you know, he does the analysis, but he also comes on the show. So I got to know him a bit. And, you know, I was a college basketball junkie, really into it at the time. Still am, but I was really into it. And so we hit it off. And so I started hanging out with him in the studio a bit and stuff. So so it was the national championship game, Cam. And best is he wore the same shirt every day. Except there were, like, food stains accumulating, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to tell Rick Majerus, dude, you got to change, like, so he come in, he had, like, this black turtleneck. It's like, dude, you got, like, some chicken wing sauce on there. Like, he just didn't care. And if you remember, Cam, so he was doing the tournament with us, and he actually went to the Final Four, but he came back on the Monday to do the TV show because he was I think he got inducted into something, or he did, like, a coach's dinner or something. So anyways, Richard Garner, who's been on the show with us here before, was paying for Majerus' hotel room. And Majerus didn't want to, like, check out and check back in because he had his clothes were all over the place in the room. So Garner was pissed off. He's like, it costs us $400 a night because this guy doesn't want to, like, pick his clothes up. And if you remember, he took a taxi from the Soho to the Score.
Across the street.
Guys, it's basically about, like, 90 yards type thing. You know what I mean? Except he got stuck in traffic because it's Toronto. So basically, he charged the Score like $30 for, like, basically walking. He could have walked a block. Except he's Rick Majerus. He was kind of big. He wasn't walking a block.
Yeah.
So hey, it was just funny. Like, Garner would call me. He's like, your buddy Majerus is really pissing me off, Gabe. Like, every day I was getting, like, he was venting through me. He's like, you know, to ask him why he took a taxi. I'm like, I'm not asking him why he took a taxi. He's like, you know.
Yeah.
So they come, Cam. It's during the national championship night game. We're sitting there. We're in that green room in the back, right? And they come in. They're like, all right, coach. He's like, what's for dinner? What are we getting? And so the coach, they come in. One of those guys, I forget his name. Like, one of those guys there comes in all enthusiastic. And he's got, like, a menus, Cam. It's like Swiss Chalet, you know, Chinese food, Italian. So there's, like, six, seven menus. And he goes, here you go, coach. This is everything that's in the neighborhood. And I swear to God, Cam, it was the best thing ever. He's like, yeah. He goes, why don't we get, like, why don't we get a full bird, Gabe? And he goes, yeah, we'll get some of this chicken. And they're like, all right, coach. He's like, hold on. He goes, we'll get some of this Chinese food. Cam, he ordered like four different places.
Awesome. I love
he's Rick Majerus. Like, yeah, he said, I thought we were ordering dinner. We're not ordering a pizza. Like, he was like, no. He goes, yeah, we'll get some of the chicken. He's like, Gabe wants some of that barbecue chicken. I want Italian, and let's get some of that Chinese. So he basically ordered from three places. Garner the next day. Well, you guys ordered from what do you? How much food did you eat last night during the game? what are you going to tell Rick Majerus? But Rick was a good guy. Yeah, Rick was a really nice guy. If he liked you, he's like a lot of coaches. Coaches can be jerks if they don't like you, but if you're on the side of a coach, Cam, it's a good friend to have. You know what I mean? If a coach likes you, you're going to get great stories and great interviews from the guy. If the coach doesn't like you, then he doesn't like you. Trust me, I've had a lot of coaches not like you. All right, we'll hit the pipelines after this quick break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It makes me think of Bobby Knight. The kid, Bob Knight came out, he's on campus. He's standing on, on the steps. Some kid comes up and goes, "Hey, Bob." Knight looked at him.
Bad
said,
move.
What? Oh, yeah. And I guess he grabbed the kid. He didn't punch him, but he grabbed the kid.
Show some respect.
You call me coach or you call me sir? One or the other. You call me coach or you call me sir? I'm telling you, Cam, I'm old. And calling a coach sir, coach skip, it goes a long way. Because in the old days, you were supposed to. That's what you did. And all those old guys with the fedoras and the cigars, hey, Skip. You know what I mean? It wasn't hey, Casey. You know what I mean? Casey Stengel. It was Skip. He was the coach. He's the manager. You got to show a little respect.
I agree. No, that's what I did. Because it's nice that now we do these interviews at 5:40. That's what I said with Leland. You call him Skip. It's the little things, Brancy. They appreciate you. Right. You don't go eat Jim. No. You don't know.
You don't know him.
You call, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. When you get to know him, you can say, hey, Rick.
Our guy,
hey,
Richard
whatever,
Garner, would be the type of guy who would have Bob Knight on. Hey, so Bobby.
Click. Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's the thing.
Best camp. I had the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Oh,
today was supposed to come on, but he didn't call in.
Oh, that's
he'll do it next week. I was warned before.
Yeah,
he'll come on, but he's the type of guy that we got to work on him for a few days, type thing. You know what I mean? He did the old "I'll call you." I hate that. Yeah. Hate that. I don't like you guys to call in. We call you.
No, we call Jimmy Hart.
It's Jimmy Hart said, "I'll call in at 9:40. He didn't call. And we're rescheduled. We're on it. We're on top of him. It's a thing in this business, guys. You just don't call someone. Oh, yeah, come on. You got to work on it sometimes to get certain people.
Yeah, it's like a marinade. You got to slowly put in the spices and the juice. And then once in a while, then you have the finished product. You're right. It's not going to happen instantaneously.
The most difficult people to deal with are the media types. Not the media types, but the new school bloggers and.
Yeah.
And I'm just calling out for what it is. Well, they don't realize that if you do this, you do this. I have a lot of people, in my rotation. I've been doing this 18 years now. A lot of people in the rotation, and they ask me, "Oh, you don't call me to come on or whatever." I don't play games, Cam. I don't play games. You do, look at Babano. Babano shows up every week. He does his spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Friday. Friday's his spot.
Yeah, I can't hear, I have this, and I do this and that. Well, then you don't do this.
Then don't, you know then don't do it. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Paul Bowlby, you say, come on the show? At 10:40 for golf. I come on the show at 10:40 for golf. It's very simple. It's a very simple thing. You do what you're doing.
I love Paul Bovey. He sent me a long message about what did he do and you know what I mean. I used to come on and I don't call him to come on. It's like, dude, I call you. You're in Asia, bro. You know what I mean? You're traveling the world. You're living your life. It's not personal, but I need bang, bang, bam. You know, Got a yep. Bam. All right. So do we have Jason in Wisconsin here?
Yes, you do, Gabe.
Hey, Jason.
What's up, Jason?
Gabe, Cam, how are you guys?
Good,
what's
Jason.
Up?
What's up,
been,
buddy?
Jason?
Good. You know, I have a habit of I'm walking through snow right now. I'm walking my 25-pound Beagle mix through this drifting about 2.5 foot of snow we had here in Wisconsin. And I'm waiting for you guys and listening to you guys talk about the silly music and everything else. And suddenly I'm walking, I'm out of breath. A little bit of reality radio here. Anyway,
no, we're reality. Bad reality.
Yeah. anyways, so I got the perfect 14 parlay for you guys today. You know, with some help from you guys here. We got. I bought a couple points, and I put $50 on it. It pays $330. So check it out. We got the Bucks and the under, $225. We got Iowa plus
eight. What's it, the Bucks to cover? They got to cover the spread or on the money line?
No.
Oh, just the under.
Oh, just under, the under. Okay. Yeah, the Bucks and Pacers under. Under. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, you got Iowa plus 8.5. Iowa plus 8.5.
Iowa.
Just Bucky. Yep.
Yeah, good
Bucky.
Number. Yeah, it's down to 6.5.
And then I bought a couple points. Cincy plus. And they play Florida. They play Central Florida, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's, UCF.
Yeah, that's the one I'd be a little bit worried about.
That's a tough game.
I know, that's the one I might play again, and with Iowa, I can go back. And then the under for Indiana, Illinois, 143.5, I bought two.
Interesting.
So everything that,
I like your Iowa pick.
Well, you know, because it's kind of one of those things where, like, you know all the your home team games, and I know you're like a Carolina Panther master. you've won a lot more money on Carolina than anything, Gabe. But anyway, so it's one of those things where me being a Badger, exactly. Where me being a Badger fan, I gotta pay attention to Wisconsin, you know. But hey, you know, so if we got your attention, guys, real quick, as far as meeting coaches go, I met Pat Riley once, and he was doing interviews with Jordan from Kenosha. We were over the border, Chicago. Anyways, we went to the Bulls practice, and we're looking for autographs. The guy that I was looking for autographs, and out comes Pat Riley in a suit and tie. And I walk up to him, and I had nothing else to sign. So I'm of a guy who, Dave and Cam, I'm guessing you guys are the same way. I would rather shake somebody's hand than I have an autograph, right?
Because yeah, I'm not a big autograph. Yeah.
No, an autograph goes away. It's a fucking piece of paper. Pardon me. It's a piece of paper and it goes away.
It's for kids. Autograph for kids.
But the shake, you shake somebody's hands, you see them on TV and say, hey, I shook that guy's hand. You know, I had a conversation with him for, X amount of time. Anyways, Pat Riley, I had a dollar. And I said, Mr. Riley, can you sign this for me? And he's like, yeah, what's it good for? And I said, so Mr. Riley, you're slicker than you. I said, you're as slick as you look on TV. He goes, slicker.
Slicker.
Pat Riley, perfect.
So yeah, goes, I like that. Goes, I said, slicker.
Yeah, no, true story. And so he signs my dollar bill. And I don't have it because his day is gone. He signed my dollar bill, and he said, and he goes, you know what you do for this? He goes, I bought a buck. So Pat Riley was cool.
He's got a sense of humor.
Coaches.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh no, he's a cool dude. Anyways, I met Tiny Lasorda at a boxing match in Chicago. The Dodgers are playing the, you guys met a million more people than I have. But I met a couple guys. I met Michael Irvin, and I'm a Packer fan. He was playing in Wisconsin in a charity basketball game. I met Michael Irvin, and he's a prick. You know, I really met a handful of celebrities, and I remember all of them that was good and bad, Not like you guys. You guys have met dozens and dozens. And Michael Irvin was a prick, and Nate Newton, before he got busted with 20 pounds of pot in his trunk, Nate Newton was really cool, actually. Nate Newton with the Cowboys was a really cool dude. But, as far as, coaches go and stuff, met Pat Riley, met Tiny Lasorda. And, I know you guys, I appreciate your time, but, and I actually do make notes, like what do you get? Like, oh, no, okay, check this out. Here's how selfish human beings are, Gabe, Cam. So I go and meet Tiny Lasorda, and I'm holding a couple of beers at a boxing match in Chicago. The Dodgers play the Cubs, so the Dodgers are in town. And I go and meet, trust me, this is worth it. But I go and meet Eric Carrolls and Mike Piazza are staying next to each other. And Mike Piazza won Rookie of the Year that year, like 91, 92, I forget. So there's Tiny Lasorda, there's Mike Piazza, and Eric Carrolls. I remember Eric Carrolls standing there, and I'm big into fantasy back then. I was getting into it. And I didn't want to shake Eric Carrolls' hand because he sucked that year in fantasy. It's like, you know, the dude is, you know, and I remember seeing their forearms. The forearms were like, you know, tan from being on the West Coast, but they're like 2x4s, you know, and I was a big baseball player at the time. But, yeah. but to show you what a douchebag I was for saying, well, Eric Carrolls is doing terrible for me in fantasy. He's betting 230, he sucks, whatever. I just make Piazza's hand and Tiny Lasorda's hand, and I chose not to shake Eric Carrolls' hand. 23-year-old kid, you know? Yeah, 22-year-old kid. I'm sure he broke Eric Carrolls' heart, but yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure he's all right.
No, but
Piazza was nice. When I met Mike Piazza, Gabe, he was nice. Mike Piazza was really nice to me.
Jason. Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
Love you guys.
Stay safe in the snow.
Yep.
Stay safe in the snow.
Sounds like he's walking through the snow.
Piazza was a jerk to me. I met Piazza, too.
Yeah. He was actually nice to me. I caught him on a good day.
Yeah, I got him on a bad day.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim Fregosi wanted to kill me, though. I'll never forget that, man. That guy, I was scared of Jim Fregosi. The first time I went down to getting clips and stuff for the radio station.
He's a surly guy,
Fregosi. Oh, man, he was surly. Like, I was like shaking, man. Next guy, I thought Jim Fregosi was going to put a cigarette right in my eye. He's sitting there in his office. Just saying, I don't know what's going on. It's like the first time they sent me down there to get clips. I made some comment about, I forget, it was Chris Carpenter. He almost like literally, he was going to jump up and like punch me. I was a kid. I was like, man, that guy.
He's probably thinking, who's this dumb kid here talking to me?
Roy Halladay was nice. He could tell I was nervous, right? But Fregosi had no time. That guy, man, you said it, Marenzi. Like, he'd play a good like Don in like a movie, like a mob guy. Like, he's just... He's probably not even a bad guy. He's just an old school guy. Ain't no BS.
Baseball managers are pretty surly to dudes.
Like, they are. Yeah, that's a good, excellent point. They are. Most of them are.
You know who's like a really mean guy in real life? Dusty Baker.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, I see Dusty with that toothpick. Yeah, he looks like he wants to hurt people.
Yeah, like Dusty doesn't have a lot of time for you, Cam. Like he's really like. He just sort of looks at you like, what the hell do you want, man?
Yeah. Well, Gabe, we have breaking news. I'll put it in the update. But Denver and Washington looking at a trade for Keenum. We'll get to the bottom of this.
All right.
Story just came out.
Rick Barry joins us next from the morning show. Rick Barry.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Morning After continues. Fantasy Sports, our radio and television networks. Things getting spirited here on the program this morning. Good stuff. I am Gabriel Morenci in Midtown Manhattan. Joe Ranieri is wrong in Florida. I'm right in New York.
I love it.
I think I get your point, actually. I get your point. I think we're sort of arguing about the same thing.
Same thing, exactly.
To an extent. Yeah. I get it. But I never thought that he was that guy that you're talking about. You know what I mean? I don't know who is that guy, to be honest.
I think we got one on the phone.
Yeah, and we'll find out. Is Rick Barry ready to go, Sean? All right, Rick Barry steps up. And then, Rick, it's always a pleasure. I get an opportunity to talk to you like once a year or so. Last time I saw you was at the marijuana convention in Toronto, actually, a couple of years ago. And we're talking about the potential legalization and sports, et cetera. But good to catch up with you, Rick. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. I apologize for the noise and stuff in the back. I'm actually at the Pirate Spring Training Facility here in Bradenton. The Clint Hurdle is a friend of mine, the manager.
Oh, nice.
I've got some buddies that I brought over. So hopefully it won't be too noisy with them playing all this music and stuff.
You're going to take batting practice? They let you do what you want? You're going to take BP?
No, I would love to do that. I actually was a better baseball player, and I was an all-state baseball player in high school. I was a better baseball player than I was a basketball player in high school.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Way better. I was much better. I was much
Did you want to be a big leaguer, like, growing up? Were you like, I want to, like...
Well, yeah. Well, I wore 24 because of Willie Mays. I mean, that was my hero.
Wow.
You know, and so what a great life, huh? I mean, Willie Mays, my boyhood hero, became my friend later in life. How's that?
That's awesome. Well, you've had a hell of a life, Rick. Yeah. And he's, you know, as have your children. So, listen, me and Joe, I'm a Red Sea. Joe Ranieri's in Florida. I'm arguing a little bit about Kyrie Irving. He says Kyrie, you know, doesn't like the pressure of being the man in Boston. He's having a problem. I think it's more just sort of it's him. I don't know if he's comfortable in his own skin. I don't know if Boston's the right fit for him. But what do you make of the Kyrie Irving situation in Boston right now with just generally how unhappy he seems to be? You know, talking to the camera, I won't miss any of this crap when I'm gone. And you know, and the Celtic players openly stating, yeah, we don't really have much of a relationship with them. How do you read the Kyrie stuff, Rick?
Well, I mean, I don't know him personally. I'm not there, so I really can't give a first-hand opinion. But, you know, from the periphery, as we all are looking at him, I mean, I think he's not conducting himself in the best way possible. I mean, he didn't even want to talk and gave one-word answers after the debacle that they had in Boston. And then he was the chatty Cathy after the game when they crushed my team, the Warriors, just the other night. So, I mean, seriously, I mean, somebody must have had to talk to him, his agent or somebody, to try to get him to be a little bit more communicative. I thought he handled himself a lot better after the Warriors game, said the right things, said the type of things he should have been saying after the loss. I mean, you just can't feel sorry for yourself and all of a sudden pout and not be talking to the press because you're unhappy with the situation that just took place during the course of a game. I mean, you're going to have bad games. You're going to have great games. But he's a heck of a player. I mean, unbelievably talented. And he asked for what he has. I mean, sometimes, like they say, right? The old cliche: be careful what you ask for.
You might get it.
He asked for, he asked for, and that's just what he wanted to get. He wanted to be the guy, but then he obviously, you know, isn't particularly, you know, outright at this juncture ready to be the guy.
Yeah, Rick, you know, it was funny when you played over there, you kind of had a similar situation in the fact where you had to be the guy during your championship run there, where, you know, you had to bring guys, you had to unite, you had to bring people together. And unfortunately, especially with today's NBA player, that's a different person than somebody can go out and hit a triple-double. Congratulations as the NBA. Of course he can play basketball, but it's what kind of leaders are we having today, and can he be that leader to bring the guys together? Like a LeBron.
Well, he could. You don't have to be a vocal leader necessarily, but you got to do it by your performance, and you have to do it with, you know, even body language is important. You know, if your teammates see you that you're down and you're pouting and doing stuff, that's going to have an impact on them. But if they see you out there busting your hump, doing everything that you can, even to the point where sometimes they might get upset with you because you take them to task. You don't allow a guy to not give his best effort. You don't allow a guy to come out and just kind of show up and put his uniform on and not put everything he has into it. Those are the types of things that you have to do. Lead by example.
Now, it sounds to me almost like it's a perfect segue into LeBron James as far as the body language, Rick, is concerned. And it's strange. I don't know. I guess I'm not smart enough to articulate this, but it's like Kyrie is scoring like 24 points a game, yet somehow they're not a better team with him. I don't know if it's a lack of defense. And I look at, you know, and Joe's using the criticism against Kyrie for not being that leader. You know, he's still young in his career. I never really saw him as that guy. But what about the LeBron situation in L.A. and the body language, the alienation of teammates? You know, and even last night, Rick, like, I want your take on this. Hell of an accomplishment being the fourth leading scorer of all time, passing Michael Jordan, I get it. But You know, and then there's balls rolling out of bounds late, and you can't bend down and pick the ball up. You know, where are we at with this stuff? Where are, you know, are these guys worried about their brand more and the stats? Like, where's the anger with the losing and saying, ah, screw it, I don't care about passing Jordan, I'm pissed off we're going to miss the playoffs. What's your opinion on the LeBron situation in L.A.?
Well, it's obviously not an ideal situation for him. I don't think it's what he anticipated being. And I don't, you know, I'm not there. I'm not in the clubhouse. Unless you're there and you really experience it and have a real true feeling for it. But you can pick things up. I mean, you know, the one time after something happened, I think they ran a clip a couple of days ago where his body language really wasn't the greatest on things. That's not typical of LeBron. LeBron is a guy that when he puts his uniform on, kind of like Kobe, you know, you're going to get everything you can from him to be able to go out and do the things that he's capable of doing. I'm sure he's frustrated, but you can't allow that frustration to carry over to the point that it becomes so visible and it has a negative impact on the team. Guys like that, you have to stay at the top of your game. You should be doing it for yourself, but you have to understand and realize that it's going to have an impact on your team if you don't do it on a regular basis where you show the guys that you're going to give your best effort every single time that you're out there. And but I think what really happened, that the biggest problem was, is all of that trade stuff. When all of a sudden you saw about almost the entire team was being put up to possibly get traded, you know, for Davis. I think that had an impact on these younger players. And LeBron was right by saying, hey, you got to learn to deal with this type of stuff. This is a business. This is what happens. But the thing is that I think it had a negative effect on that team. That team has not been the same since that took place. But also, when LeBron went out with the injury, the other players didn't really step up. They didn't play particularly well. They don't have the necessary talent to surround him to give him the opportunity to be a playoff team. You can't expect one guy to carry the team. I mean, that doesn't happen in basketball. The rest of the players have to be able to perform and play at a high level in order for a team to be successful. One guy just can't do it.
Rick Barry with us. The legend Hall of Famer, Selrick. Speaking of effort, Coach Kerr was very unhappy with the effort and almost sounded exasperated after the game, stating, you know, we're sleepwalking through these things right now. Me and Joe were talking earlier, and I said, man, no one's going to remember any of these games in April or in March right now. It's all about what happens in May. It's all about what happens in June. But where are the Warriors at right now, working DeMarcus Cousins into the rotation? Do you like this? You know, do you like what you see, or is there fatigue kicking in right now? Where are the Warriors at psychologically, Rick?
Well, you know, again, I can't speak for them individually. I would have to say that they didn't show up for that game, obviously, and I think as far as I'm concerned, I want this team to win and be successful. I mean, I have great love for the Warriors, obviously. But this was probably a good thing. It was a good thing because it was a great kick-in-the-butt wake-up call for them to make them understand that they better be ready to go out there because every team is always going to give their best effort against them, and they can get embarrassed, even at home, which it was an embarrassment what happened in that game, and they should really feel horrible about it. But I think, if nothing else, it will get them to get more motivated to realize that, hey, you got to be ready to go. But as you pointed out, this is the beginning of March. We still have a long way to go before the season's even over. They're going to get themselves together. I think things are coming together. They didn't have Clay in that game, and they mentally were not ready to play. It's that difficult. They just weren't. And they got their butts kicked, and I think it will be a bit of a turning point for them, and they'll be fine come playoff time. This is a team with a lot of experience now. A lot of them are champions, other, you know, but some of them haven't played on a championship team, Cousins being one of them. But when they got it going, if they play their random basketball in a seven-game series, offense and defense, there's not a team in the league that if they play their best and the Warriors play their best on both ends of the court could beat the Warriors in a seven-game series. Now, saying that, you still have to go out there and do it, okay? So we'll see what happens.
Rick Barry with us. Joe, you got anything before we let Rick go?
Yeah, Rick, I just want to ask you a question, and I know you're not with the team, but let me hypothetical. You're Kevin Durant, and you have the option to be able to leave at the end of this season. Are you leaving the Warriors?
No. Absolutely not.
Like, no.
There's no way.
Absolutely.
You're in a situation where, you can be on a part of something so special because it's very few teams have been so good and been dominant in the game for an extended period of time. You know, you've got the Celtics, of course, were unbelievable. Then you had the Showtime Lakers, and you had San Antonio has been very consistent. The Warriors now are becoming one of those teams, and Kevin Durant has a chance to be a part of that. Why would you want to give that up? For what reason? It's not about money anymore. It's about winning championships. Any place he goes, are they going to have as good a chance of winning a championship as they do with the Warriors? I don't think so. So why in the world would you want to leave that? Why? Why? I can't fathom why you would want to leave.
Yeah, life's pretty good for him right now. All right, Rick. Last question, and we'll let you take the baseball game in here. MVP, Greek Freak, or is it Harden? Who, in your opinion, who's the most valuable player? I use those two because they're the front runners according to the Las Vegas odds makers.
Yeah, well, I've always said that there should be two awards in any sport when you do it, even an all-star game. Don't forget all-star games. Basketball is not even a game anymore. It's an exhibition. But during the regular season, because you can be the most valuable player, but you aren't necessarily the most outstanding player. So it should be most outstanding and most valuable.
Yep.
And you know, certainly the most outstanding player for what he's done has been Harden would probably get that, but the most valuable would be the Greek Freak for his team to be where they are. Without him, they have no chance. I mean, you can make an argument for Harden as well, but I would say he would get the MOP if I were to do that. The MVP I would give to Giannis.
Rick, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Enjoy Florida.
Quick plug, real quick. Go GYV, GOGYV.com, GOGYV.com/RBarry. Just go there, listen to the video, make your own decision. I got off of prescription drug taking this natural product called Biogenesis. GOGYV.com/RBarry.
Go GOV. Yeah, good stuff. We're all about natural stuff.
All right, take care, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, my man.
All right, we got RickBarry24.com as well. We got to get the link up on the screen for him, you know, for joining us there. Great stuff. I've always been a Rick Barry fan. Dude tells it like it is. That's why he's not on national television now.
Yeah, exactly. He's also got a little bit of old school in him too. I mean, you're winning. It's not about the money. What in the hell? Where do you? I hope it sounds like he wants Durant to stay put.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole thing about like the LeBron stuff last night about the celebration. You know, my uncle played with Wayne Gretzky on the Edmonton Oilers, and when I was a kid, it was like 1980, and I went to breakfast, all right, and he surprised me. So I went to my Edmonton, were playing the Montreal Canadiens. There was a greasy spoon across the street from the Montreal Forum. So I met him for breakfast, and I practiced with the Oilers and stuff. And he goes, do you mind if a couple of friends join us? And I was 10. And I'm like, oh, whatever, you know what I mean? Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier sit down. And I had the newspaper, and I said to Wayne, I said, hey, Wayne, Mr. Gretzky, you're only 3 points behind Marcel Dion for first overall leading points in the NHL. He goes, oh, am I? I didn't know that. He goes, I don't care about that stuff. He goes, I don't care about that stuff. I don't know. I didn't know that.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Time decisions continues. Steely Dan.
Oh, yeah, a little Steely Dan.
I like Steely Dan. Pretty laid back Steely Dan song.
Yeah, it sure is. This is like more like she's taking off her brassiere. Oh, what's happening? Oh,
I might get laid?
Great. That's like a little you're right. Like Steely Dan was like, I'm reeling in the year. Like, like that one's a little quicker. That one's more, this one's more lovemaking than Steely Dan. Right, Gabe? Great. Rick Barry's great, man. I love that guy. He'd be crazy not to leave Golden State. You're right. Yeah. Well, Kevin Durant, you're in a good situation there, buddy, but he'll go where he wants to go, I guess.
Marist up 37-27, Ken, with the half.
Yeah, I know. That's a reach. I don't even like that game. I just want action in the afternoon. I literally put like 15 bucks on it. Like, I just nothing. Like, yeah. It's not like we like the Seton Hall. Yeah, that's a hey, it's not over yet. Remember, Seton Hall came back last night, Gabe. It's only 10 points, and I'm getting, what am I getting, 2.5 or 3? Just a big second half by the Peacocks, and it'll be all right, buddy. I still believe.
I'm looking for this North Florida game.
What time is it at? North Florida.
Oh, yeah, it's NCAA basketball extra games.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. I know a lot of extra. Why don't you just put down the whole – that's another thing in these books, like extra. Just put it in – it's on the card, right?
Yeah.
Why is it extra?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not extra. It's not like I'm getting like – I'm buying Listerine with an extra like small toothpaste aside to the thing. Or when I go to the liquor store, I get a rye with my vodka. That's extra. This is – no, it's just a game. It's not extra. It's a game on the sked.
I actually like some of these extra games too. Keeping it local here, Cam. I'm taking Engine.
Oh, yeah, Engine's got a big game tonight. That's
New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Yeah. Never forget them when they beat your Wolverines. Yeah, what time is that one at? Let's see here.
That's at 8. They're getting 11.5 points at Lipscomb.
That's a lot of points. Yeah, Lipscomb's good, but that's a lot of points.
I know Lipscomb's good, but it's a lot of points. Like you said, like, it's a conference tournament game. New Jersey's going to be laying it on the line, too, right? It's a neutral court, too. All right, we'll get to our best bets, a little DFS action. Ricky Sanders will step up and in as well.